Chapter 21. Bless and preserve poor MD. Farewell. Oh, Faith, don't think, saucy noses, that I'll fill this third side. I can't stay a letter above a fortnight. It must go then, and you would rather see a short one like this than wanted a week longer. My humble service to the Dean, and Mrs. Walls, and good, kind, hearty Mrs. Stoit, and honest Catherine. Letter 22. Chelsea, April 28, 1711. At night. I say at night, because I finished my 21st this morning here, and put it into the post office my own self, like a good boy. I think I am a little before you now, young women. I am writing my 22nd, and have received your 13th. I got to town between 12 and 1, and put on my new gown and periwig, and dined with Lord Abercorn, where I had not been since the marriage of his son Lord Peasley, one who has got £10,000 with a wife. I am now a country gentleman. I walked home as I went, and am a little weary, and am got into bed. I hope in God the air and exercise will do me a little good. I have been inquiring about statues for Mrs. Ashe. I made Lady Abercorn to go with me, and will send them word next post to Clare. I hate to buy for her. I am sure she will maunder. I am going to study. 29. I had a charming walk to and from town today. I washed, shaved and all, unchanged gown and periwig, by half an hour after 9, and went to the secretary, who told me how he had differed with his friends in Parliament. I apprehended this division, and told him a great deal of it. I went to court, and there several mentioned it to me as what they much disliked. I dined with the secretary, and we proposed doing some business of importance in the afternoon, which he broke to me first, and said how he and Mr. Harley were convinced of the necessity of it. Yet he suffered one of his under-secretaries to come upon us after dinner, who stayed till 6, and so nothing was done. And what care I, he shall send to me the next time, and ask twice. Tomorrow I go to the election at Westminster School, where lads are chosen for the university. They say it is a sight, and a great trial of wits. Our expedition fleet is but just sailed. I believe it will come to nothing. Mr. Secretary frets at their tediousness, but hopes great things from it, though he owns 4 or 5 princes are in the secret, and, for that reason, I fear it is no secret to France. There are 8 regiments, and the Admiral 3 is your Walker's brother the midwife. 30. Morn. I am here in a pretty pickle. It rains hard, and the cunning natives of Chelsea have outwitted me, and taken up all the 3 stage coaches. What shall I do? I must go to town. This is your fault. I cannot walk. I will borrow a coat. This is the blind side of my lodging out of town. I must expect such inconveniences as these. Faith, I'll walk in the rain. Morrow. At night. I got a gentleman's chaise by chance, and so went to town for a shilling, and lie this night in town. I was at the election of lads at Westminster today, and a very silly thing it is, but they say there will be fine doings tomorrow. I dined with Dr. Frayne, for the second master of the school, with a dozen parsons and others. Prior would make me stay. Mr. Harley is to hear the election tomorrow, and we are all to dine with tickets, and hear fine speeches. 'Tis terrible rainy weather again. I lie at a friend's in the city. May 1. I wish you a merry May Day, and 1,000 more. I was balked at Westminster. I came too late. I heard no speeches nor verses. They would not let me into their dining place for want of a ticket, and I would not send in for one, because Mr. Harley excused his coming, and Atterbury was not there, and I cared not for the rest. And so my friend Lewis and I dined with Kit Musgrove, 5, if you know such a man. And, the weather mending, I walked gravely home this evening, and so I designed to walk, and walk till I am well. I fancy myself a little better already. How does poor Stella? Dingley is well enough. Go, get you gone, Naughty girl, you are well enough. Oh dear MD, contrive to have some share of the country this spring. Go to Finglas, or Donnybrook, or Clare, or Killala, or Louth. Have you got your box yet? Yes, yes. Do not write to me again till this letter goes. I must make haste, that I may write 241. Go to the bath. I hope you are now at the bath, if you had a mind to go, or go to Wexford. Do something for your living. Have you given up my lodging according to order? I have had just now a compliment from Dean Atterbury's lady, 6, to command the garden and library, and whatever the house affords. I lodge just over against them, but the dean is in town with his convocation. So I have my dean and prolocutor as well as you, young women, though he has not so good wine, nor so much meat. 2. A fine day, but begins to grow a little warm, and that makes your little fat presto sweat in the forehead. Pray, are not the fine buns sold here in our town? Was it not rare Chelsea buns? 7. I bought one today in my walk. It cost me a penny. It was stale, and I did not like it, as the man said, etc. Sir Andrew Fountain and I dined at Mrs. Van Homry's, and had a flask of my Florence, which lies in their cellar, and so I came home gravely, and saw nobody of consequence today. I am very easy here, nobody plaguing me in a morning, and Patrick saves many a score lies. I sent over to Mrs. Atterbury to know whether I might wait on her, but she is gone a visiting. We have exchanged some compliments, but I have not seen her yet. We have no news in our town. 3. I did not go to town today, it was so terrible rainy, nor have I stirred out of my room till late this evening, when I crossed the way to see Mrs. Atterbury, and thank her for her civilities. She would needs send me some veal, and small beer, and ale, today at dinner, and I have lived a scurvy, dull, splenetic day, for want of MD. I often thought how happy I could have been, had it rained 8,000 times more, if MD had been with a body. My Lord Rochester 8 is dead this morning, they say at 1 o'clock, and I hear he died suddenly. Tomorrow I shall know more. He is a great loss to us. I cannot think who will succeed him as Lord President. I have been writing a long letter to Lord Peterborough, and am dull. 4. I dined today at Lord Shelburne's, where Lady Carey 9 made me a present of 4 India handkerchiefs, which I have a mind to keep for little MD, only that I had rather, etc. I have been a mighty handkerchief monger, and have bought abundance of snuff ones, since I have left off taking snuff. And I am resolved, when I come over, MD shall be acquainted with Lady Carey. We have struck up a mighty friendship, and as he has much better sense than any other lady of your country. We are almost in love with one another. But she is most egregiously ugly, but perfectly well-bred, and governable as I please. I am resolved, when I come, to keep no company but MD. You know I kept my resolution last time, and, except Mr. Addison, conversed with none but you and your club of deans and stoits. 'Tis 3 weeks, young women, since I had a letter from you, and yet, methinks, I would not have another for £5 till this is gone, and yet I send every day to the coffee house, and I would fain have a letter, and not have a letter. And I do not know what, nor I do not know how, and this goes on very slow. It is a week tomorrow, since I began it. I am a poor country gentleman, and do not know how the world passes. Do you know that every syllable I write I hold my lips just for all the world, as if I were talking in our own little language to MD? Faith, I am very silly, but I cannot help it for my life. I got home early tonight. My solicitors, that used to ply me every morning, knew not where to find me, and I am so happy not to hear a trick, Patrick, called 100 times every morning. But I looked backward, and find I have said this before. What care I? Go to the dean, and roast the oranges. 5. I dined today with my friend Lewis, and we were deep in politics, how to save the present ministry, for I am afraid of Mr. Secretary, as I believe I told you. I went in the evening to see Mr. Harley, and, upon my word, I was in perfect joy. Mr. Secretary was just going out of the door, but I made him come back, and there was the old Saturday Club, Lord Keeper, Lord Rivers, Mr. Secretary, Mr. Harley, and I, the first time since his stabbing. Mr. Secretary went away, but I stayed till 9, and made Mr. Harley show me his breast, and tell all the story, and I showed him the Archbishop of Dublin's letter, and defended him effectually. We were all in mighty good humor. Lord Keeper and I left them together, and I walked here after 9 2 miles, and I found a parson drunk fighting with a seaman, and Patrick and I were so wise to part them, but the seaman followed him to Chelsea, cursing at him, and the parson slipped into a house, and I know no more. It mortified me to see a man in my coat so overtaken. A pretty scene for one, that just came from sitting with the prime ministers. I had no money in my pocket, and so could not be robbed. However, nothing but Mr. Harley shall make me take such a journey again. We don't yet know who will be president in Lord Rochester's room. I measured, and found that the penknife would have killed Mr. Harley, if it had gone, but half the breadth of my thumbnail lower, so near was he to death. I was so curious, as to ask him what were his thoughts, while they were carrying him home in the chair. He said he concluded himself a dead man. He will not allow that Guiscard gave him the second stab, though my Lord Keeper, who is blind, and I that was not there, are positive in it. He wears a plaster still as broad as half a crown. Smoke how wide the lines are, but, faith, I don't do it on purpose. But I have changed my side in this new Chelsea bed, and I do not know how, methinks, but it is so unfit, and so awkward, never saw the like. 6. You must remember to enclose your letters in a fair paper, and direct the outside thus. O. Erasmus Lewis Esquire, semicolon at my Lord Dartmouth's office at Whitehall. I said so before, but it may miscarry, you know, yet I think none of my letters did ever miscarry. Faith, I think never one, among all the privateers and the storms. Oh, faith, my letters are too good to be lost. MD's letters may tarry, but never miscarry, as the old woman used to say. And indeed, how should they miscarry, when they never come before their time? It was a terrible rainy day, yet I made a shift, to steal fair weather overhead enough, to go and come in. I was early with the secretary, and dined with him afterwards. In the morning I began to chide him, and tell him my fears of his proceedings. But Arthur Moore, 10, came up and relieved him. But I forgot, for you never heard of Arthur Moore. But when I get Mr. Harley alone, I will know the bottom. You will have Dr. Raymond over before this letter, and what care you? 7. I hope and believe my walks every day do me good. I was busy at home, and set out late this morning, and dined with Mrs. Van Homry, at whose lodgings I always change my gown and periwig. I visited this afternoon, and among others, poor Biddy Floyd, 11, who is very red, but I believe, won't be much marked. As I was coming home, I met Sir George Beaumont, 12, in the Pall Mall, who would needs walk with me as far as Buckingham House. I was telling him of my head. He said he had been ill of the same disorder, and by all means, forbid me bohea tea, which, he said, always gave it him, and that Dr. Radcliffe said it was very bad. Now I had observed the same thing, and have left it off this month, having found myself ill after it several times, and I mention it that Stella may consider it for her own poor little head. A pound lies ready packed up and directed for Mrs. Walls, to be sent by the first convenience. Mr. Secretary told me yesterday, that Mr. Harley would this week be Lord Treasurer and a peer, so I expect it every day, yet perhaps it may not be till Parliament is up, which will be in a fortnight. 8. I was today with the Duke of Ormond, and recommended to him the care of poor Joe Beaumont, who promises me to do him all justice and favor, and give him encouragement, and desired I would give a memorial to Ned Southwell about it, which I will, and so tell Joe when you see him, though he knows it already by a letter I writ to Mr. Warburton. 13. It was bloody hot walking today. I dined in the city, and went and came by water, and it rained, so this evening again, that I thought I should hardly be able to get a dry hour to walk home in. I will send tomorrow to the coffee house for a letter from M.D., but I would not have one methinks till this is gone, as it shall on Saturday. I visited the Duchess of Ormond this morning, she does not go over with the Duke. I spoke to her to get a lad touched for the evil. 14. The son of a grocer in Capel Street, one Bell, the ladies have bought sugar and plums of him. Mrs. Mary used to go there often. This is Patrick's account, and the poor fellow has been here some months with his boy. But the Queen has not been able to touch, and it now grows so warm, I fear she will not at all. Go, go, go to the Dean's, and let him carry you to Donnybrook, and cut asparagus. Has Parvisel sent you any this year? I cannot sleep in the beginnings of the nights, the heat or something hinders me, and I am drowsy in the mornings. 9. Dr. Frayn came this morning, to visit Atterbury's lady and children as physician, and persuaded me to go with him to town in his chariot. He told me he had been an hour before with Sir Cholmley Durring, Charles Durring's nephew, and head of that family in Kent, for which he is Knight of the Shire. He said he left him dying of a pistol shot quite through the body, by one Mr. Thornhill. 15. They fought at sword and pistol this morning in Tuttle Fields. 16. Their pistols so near, that the muzzles touched. Thornhill discharged first, and Durring, having received the shot, discharged his pistol as he was falling, so it went into the air. The story of this quarrel is long. Thornhill had lost 7 teeth by a kick in the mouth from Durring, who had first knocked him down. This was above a fortnight ago. Durring was next week, to be married to a fine young lady. This makes a noise here, but you will not value it. Well, Mr. Harley, Lord Keeper, and one or two more, are to be made lords immediately. Their patents are now passing, and I read the preamble to Mr. Harley's, full of his praises. Lewis and I dined with Ford. I found the wine, two flasks of my Florence, and two bottles of six, that Dr. Raymond sent me of French wine. He sent it to me to drink with Sir Robert Raymond and Mr. Harley's brother, 17, whom I had introduced him to. But they never could find time to come, and now I have left the town, and it is too late. Raymond will think it a cheat. What care I, sirrah? 10. Saw. Patrick brought me 4 letters today. From Dilly at Bath. Joe, Parvisel, and what was the 4th? Who can tell? Stand away, who'll guess? Who can it be? You old man with a stick, can you tell who the 4th is from? Is, and please your honor, it is from one Madam M.D., number 14. Well, but I can't send this away now, because it was here, and I was in town. But it shall go on Saturday, and this is Thursday night, and it will be time enough for Wexford. Take my method. I write here to Parvisel, to lend Stella £20, and to take her note promissory to pay it in half a year, etc. You shall see, and if you want more, let me know afterwards. And be sure my money shall be always paid constantly to. Have you been good or ill housewives, pray? 11. Joe has written me to get him a collector's place, nothing less. He says all the world knows of my great intimacy with Mr. Harley, and that the smallest word to him will do. This is the constant cant of puppies who are at a distance, and strangers to courts and ministers. My answer is this, which pray send. That I am ready to serve Joe as far as I can. That I have spoken to the Duke of Ormond about his money, as I writ to Warburton. That for the particular he mentions, it is a work of time, which I cannot think of at present. But, if accidents and opportunities should happen hereafter, I would not be wanting. That I know best, how far my credit goes, that he is at a distance, and cannot judge, that I would be glad to do him good, and if fortune throws an opportunity in my way I shall not be wanting. This is my answer, which you may send or read to him. Pray contrive that Parvisel may not run away with my £200, but get Burton's 18 note, and let the money be returned me by bill. Don't laugh, for I will be suspicious. Teach Parvisel to enclose, and direct the outside to Mr. Lewis. I will answer your letter in my next, only what I take notice of here accepted. I forgot to tell you that at the Court of Requests today I could not find a dinner I liked, and it grew late, and I dined with Mrs. Van Omri, etc. 12. Morning. I will finish this letter, before I go to town, because I shall be busy, and have neither time nor place there. Farewell, etc. etc. Letter 23. Chelsea, May 12, 1711. I sent you my 22nd this afternoon in town. I dined with Mr. Harley and the old club, Lord Rivers, Lord Keeper, and Mr. Secretary. They rallied me last week, and said I must have Mr. St. John's leave, so I writ to him yesterday, that foreseeing I should never dine again with Sir Simon Harcourt, Knight, and Robert Harley Esquire, I was resolved to do it today. The jest is, that before Saturday 1, next we expect they will be lords, for Mr. Harley's patent is drawing, to be Earl of Oxford. Mr. Secretary and I came away at 7, and he brought me to our town's end in his coach, so I lost my walk. St. John read my letter to the company, which was all raillery, and passed purely. 13. It rained all last night and this morning as heavy as lead. But I just got fair weather, to walk to town before church. The roads are all over in deep puddle. The hay of our town, is almost fit to be mowed. I went to court after church, as I always do on Sundays, and then dined with Mr. Secretary, who has engaged me for every Sunday, and poor M.D. dined at home upon a bit of veal and a pint of wine. Is it not plaguy insipid? To tell you every day where I dine, yet now I have got into the way of it, I cannot forbear it neither. Indeed, Mr. Presto, you had better go answer M.D.'s letter, N. 114. I will answer it when I please, Mr. Doctor. What is that you say? The court was very full this morning, expecting Mr. Harley would be declared Earl of Oxford, and have the treasurer's staff. Mr. Harley never comes to court at all. Somebody there asked me the reason. Hi, said I, the Lord of Oxford knows. He always goes to the Queen by the back stairs. I was told for certain, you jackanapes, Lord Santry, too, was dead. Captain Kamak, 3, assured me so. And now he's alive again, they say. But that shan't do. He shall be dead to me, as long as he lives. Dick Tye, 4, and I meet, and never stir our hats. I am resolved to mistake him for Witherington, the little nasty lawyer that came up to me so sternly at the castle the day I left Ireland. I'll ask the gentleman I saw walking with him how long Witherington has been in town. 14. I went to town today by water. The hail quite discouraged me from walking, and there is no shade in the greatest part of the way. I took the first boat, and had a footman my companion. Then I went again by water, and dined in the city with a printer, to whom I carried a pamphlet in manuscript, that Mr. Secretary gave me. The printer sent it to the secretary for his approbation, and he desired me to look it over, which I did, and found it a Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.